Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. In the studio, Dr. Mohammed Mehdou, former professor from the Johns Hopkins University. We are covering the compilation of the verbatim word of not Muhammad, of not a man, but the verbatim word of God Almighty. In Arabic we say Allah. This is part two. You can go to thedeanshow.com. If you didn't see part one, Dr. Mehdou has his own section there, and you can watch part one. We are continuing talking with the Sheikh, and we left off at the time when the Prophet, peace be upon him, had passed, and now we're going to continue from here. Talk to us, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank
here
you
again.
Inviting me for hosting.
We're talking
me.
About the verbatim word of God, okay. The Quran. Yes, we said it didn't fall from the sky. It was revealed over 23 years.
Yeah.
And we came all the way to the point where the recap, talk to us, recap a little bit from episode one, then we'll go from there.
Yes. Well, we said that at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the situation. At least there were 200 people, 200 companions, men and women. They memorized the Quran by heart, and they used to use it in every day in their prayers. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there were four copies, written copies, by four well-known companions, and this process took place in the house of the Prophet, peace be upon him. They were, as we mentioned, Zayd ibn Harith and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Ubay ibn Ka'b and Ikrimah ibn Abi Sufyan. There's four people. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ used to get a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibreel, peace be upon him, what happened is that the Prophet ﷺ would call those people and would ask them to write what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed that whatever Muhammad ﷺ said in the Quran, that it was guaranteed 100% that there is no mistake in it. So this was the situation until the Prophet ﷺ died. So in other words, there was no one compilation of the whole Quran in a form of a book. It was four copies, as I said, that written on leathers of animal, written on pieces of wood. Yeah. And by the way, there are some of these up till now, they are living. And perhaps you can see this in the screen. Yeah, some examples of the written on wood, some examples of...
Like what we're seeing right now.
That we were seeing right now.
Yeah.
So you can see this by yourself. So the Quran was not compiled in one book. But as I said, that four versions of the same thing written by four different people and reviewed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel, peace be upon him, reviewed the Quran with him twice in the last year before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. And even some of the companions, when they knew that Jibreel reviewed the Quran two times, which is not the custom of Jibreel, because he used to review the Quran with Muhammad once a year. But in the last, so the companions understood that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to die because of this revision that was made by Jibreel in the last year of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first caliph, came, after just few weeks, some of the people refused to pay zakat, to pay the charity that they used to pay.
That's one of the pillars of Islam?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. And what happened is that this led Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said that I'm going to launch a war against those. He advised them first. He made many negotiations with them, but they insisted on their understanding. So there was a fight, which is a very famous fight in the history of Islam. It's called the Battle of Yamama.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. During this battle, approximately around 70 memorizers passed away, died. It was a very big problem.
Yes.
Although they had at that time more than 200 people, but 70 is a big loss. So here was the situation. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was sitting, and Umar ibn Khattab was sitting, and many companions were sitting, and the news came that 70 memorizers died in the Battle of Yamama. It was a very tragic situation. And then Umar ibn Khattab, peace be upon him, the second caliph, came up with this idea. He said that, hey Abu Bakr, why shouldn't we compile the Quran in one book, in one mushaf? The word mushaf in Arabic language, which is...
What does that mean, translated in English?
Literally speaking, mushaf means the place of pages or the place of papers. In other words, a book.
Yeah.
So the Quran was not compiled into one thing at that time. So Umar ibn Khattab suggested this to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The natural response of the caliph, he rejected the idea. And Umar ibn Khattab started talking to him, asking him, why, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, you reject this idea? Why do you reject this idea? He said, simply, I cannot do anything that the Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't do. See how those people were so smart, they were afraid to do anything that may take them out of the way of the Prophet. He said no. He refused. Then the Umar ibn Khattab started explaining the concept to many companions. They were convinced. And then when almost all the companions, there was a consensus among the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, agreed on this issue, that it should be compiled in one. At that time, then and only then, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the caliph, accepted the idea. And by the way, here is the one thing, that in Islam, if the companions, if there is a consensus among the companions to do something, it becomes part of the religion.
So companions, these were, when we say his friends, people that were living during
were living at the time.
They saw him, ate with him, they knew his life, backward, forward, everything.
They were recording everything. Even if the Prophet ﷺ would unbutton his shirt, they would unbutton their shirt. They just want to imitate the Prophet ﷺ. Even if sitting, putting one leg on another leg, they would do the same thing. Even if he's using his right hand like this, they would use their right hand. They would emulating the Prophet ﷺ in everything that he did, even in things that they are not related to the religion.
And now making this into one compiled book during the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, was it because he was living at that time?
He was living, and not only that, there were 4 copies.
Yeah.
And now the matter is left in the hands of the people.
Okay.
So this was the idea. And now what happened is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq called Zayd ibn Harith. Remember when I talked Zayd ibn Harith, one of the 4 people, the scribes who used to write the Quran at the time of the Prophet.
Yeah.
So he asked him to do that. You know that he's the leader of the nation, asking one of the people in the nation, and he refused. He said, I'm sorry, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
The reason is that this was not done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. You see how cautious the companions were? They just wanted to stick to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And what happened after that, when all the companions explained this to him, that there is a consensus, and he said that, wallahi, had they asked me to remove the mountain of Uhud, this is the very famous mountain in close to Medina, have the companions asked me to remove the mountain of Uhud from its place to another place, it would have been an easier task for me than to do this compilation.
Hold it right there. We got to take a break. Don't use your play, Sheikh. We'll be right back on the Deen Show. La ilaha illallah
Muhammadur Rasul. All of the prophets would have been labeled Muslims because this essential message was the same message: submission to the will of God. This is God talking to you directly.
How could I stand behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach a sermon that I knew was at variance with the actual taproot of Christianity?
We're back here on the Deen Show with Dr. Muhammad Mahdou, it would have been easier, you said, to move the mountain
of Uhud,
than
to compile the Quran, to do an act that was not done at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this tells us how smart the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were, how smart the disciples of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were. They wanted to keep everything as it was in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But there was a need that to compile it in one book. Yeah. And what happened at that time, when he started compiling it, the way I'd like to elaborate on this, now we have four copies, as we said, four different handwritings, because each one companion has his own different font or different handwriting. My handwriting is different from your handwriting. Each one has his unique
handwriting. But same handwriting. Quran, nothing different there.
Yeah, of course, it's the same Quran, still the four versions there. So what happened is that he started picking, yes, the good version that was not affected by the element of time. You know that by the element of time, sometimes there was wearing out, sometimes there was leakage of the ink, sometimes there are many other factors that affect the time. After 23 years, now it's, we were talking about 24 years, so he started selecting, for example, the first page, he would take it from the copy of Zaid, the second page would be taken from the copy of Ubay ibn Ka'b, and from these four copies, he compiled one version, and they compiled it together, and it came in a form of a book. Absolutely, it was not like that. Simply because it was not written on paper. Yeah. It was written, as we said, leather and stuff. You can imagine how huge that book is. I'm quite sure that it may extend from this wall to this wall.
Yeah.
But they were compiled together. And what happened after that? So all the left papers from the four copies, they were gathered together and they were burned. They were burned.
So let's just make this clear. You're saying that during the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him,
these were four copies.
These were the copies that were made with the chief scribe who was there at the time.
Absolutely.
Now again, he's there again.
He's the same one.
Checking
Zayd ibn Harith.
And these four, they're brought together. They're not different versions.
No,
like this
at
missing
all.
Here.
No, no,
this
there's no writing. Just compilation.
Compiled bring
together,
it together
in one book.
Yeah.
You can imagine that this book.
And
of
this
course,
is the wisdom of the Creator of the heavens
course,
and earth, making
absolutely.
All these steps happen
with the consensus of the all.
With
all the
consensus, there's no fight disputing.
No,
like,
absolutely.
Hey, this shouldn't be here. What
absolutely.
Are you doing? There's no fighting.
Absolutely,
among, they all agree.
A lot of discussion, very academic and scientific,
yeah.
and deep discussion among
yeah.
them to see the rationale.
These are all God-fearing people.
Absolutely,
they're not trying to
absolutely.
Make a mistake here.
Absolutely,
yeah.
There's not a single percent, 1%. An error here, an error factor. So the Quran was compiled in the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq and was left, of course, and this was in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha.
Now you said burning, because there are a lot of people
yeah.
who maybe just
absolutely.
Out of ignorance
absolutely.
Or intentionally, unintentionally,
absolutely.
They say that, look, they were different versions.
Okay.
And this is because now
how can they
burn
first?
The Quran. So
absolutely.
Elaborate on this, please.
This is a very good question. Absolutely. First of all, how can they should be four different versions? If they are reviewed by the Prophet Allah. See, these four copies were written at the time of the Prophet, mm-hmm. and he used to review them from time to time.
Yeah.
And he used to ask each one of those scribes to review the other copy that was written. So
yeah.
all of them as the group of four people, they are responsible for these four copies.
Yeah.
And this, alhamdulillah, the wisdom of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It might have been an inspiration to him by Allah, but this is the wisdom. He made four people, not just one copy or two copies. Why? Because the effect of time might have made some changes. Mm-hmm. When you write a paper and you leave it for some time, yeah, when you come after some years, you see the effect of the time on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so wise. So there are now four copies. From these four copies, only one copy was made and was connected together, compiled together to make the first Mus'haf. And this Mus'haf, which means book, yes, this Mus'haf was known to be called the Mus'haf of Abi Bakr.
Mm-hmm.
Mus'haf of Abi Bakr. The reason is it was made at the time of Abu Bakr.
Yeah.
And you will see later on when we talk, when explain this, at the time of Uthman, yeah, it was called Uthman because it was done at the time of Uthman. It was not written by Uthman. It was not written by Abu Bakr Siddiq. Yeah. Even Abu Bakr Siddiq himself was not one of the writers of the Quran.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now we're at the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq.
And now at the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, who lived almost for 2 years and then he died. Mm-hmm. And after the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq came the second caliph. This was the situation. There is only one copy and there are many memorizers of the Quran. Every day passes, a lot of people memorize the Quran. Why? Because they need it in their daily prayers. They use it 5 times a day. And some of them were imams leading the prayers, so they needed that. And continuously, whenever somebody makes a mistake, he will be corrected by the followers who pray behind them. And this is, again, one of the wisdoms of the congregational prayer of the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are all encouraged as Muslims to pray in congregation and to see that if an imam makes a mistake, everyone who is a follower of him will correct him during the prayer. Yeah.
So now we have Abu Bakr Siddiq, and it's compiled there, but he passes away.
He passed away.
What
the situation
now?
Was, now this book was there. Abu Bakr Siddiq came. Umar ibn Khattab came after that. Mm-hmm. What happened is that the book was moved from the house of Aisha to the house of Hafs.
These are the prophets.
Again, it's the wives.
Prophet's wives.
Yes,
they're still alive.
It's still alive, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened is that at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, I don't want to go into details, but anyway, nothing happened. Umar ibn Khattab used to send people, especially the memorizers, to the new countries that became Islamic countries, because the Muslims opened many countries and Islam spread in many countries. So Umar ibn Khattab used to send some memorizers to teach people the new converts or the new reverts to Islam, this the Quran. So Quran now is going beyond Mecca and beyond Medina to the new lands that had been added to the Islamic countries. So this was the situation at the time of Umar. Then Umar ibn Khattab passed away. Nothing happened. Still have, there's one Mus'haf. Mus'haf.
It's still at the Prophet.
Exactly.
In, the house, his
wife, in his house.
Hafsa. Yeah.
Hafsa.
Still there.
Still there.
Same one that compiled during the time
it's
of
the
Abu
same,
Bakr.
Abu Bakr Siddiq.
Okay.
Exactly. The same one that was taken from the four copies, that one.
How many years later is this now?
Now you're talking about Umar ibn Khattab lived approximately 12 years.
So 12 and 2,
12
so
and
we got
two,
about
now,
14 years. Now.
Still the same copy. Mm-hmm. And what happens now that is the Islamic nation is increasing, is expanding in every direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the memorizers used to spread out and to teach other people how to memorize the Quran. So the number of the memorizers is increasing day after day. Men and women, old and young, every Arabs and non-Arabs.
Yeah.
At the time of Uthman, the third caliph, there was a big expansion. So what happened is that when the people recite the Quran, when I recite the Quran, especially, as let me go back to the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The people who memorized the Quran were from different tribes. And these tribes, of course, they have their own dialect. Mm-hmm. For example, you can see that in English, there's a difference between the New York dialect
and New York dialect
and the Texas dialect and the Chicago. People in their places, they have different dialects. They read the same word, but with the dialect.
Yeah.
Yeah. With an accent or a dialect. And this is exactly what was happening at the time of the tribes were spreading here and there. There was long distances between them. There's not close communication. There was no media in them. So the Prophet ﷺ did not change their dialect, but they used to pronounce their the words according to their dialect. For example, let me tell you, some people would say schedule and some people would say schedule.
Yeah.
And this is something common in every language. So, and the Prophet ﷺ endorsed these writings. Mm-hmm. And of course he accepted these pronunciation.
Give us one more. I like that what you said. You said schedule and
schedule.
Schedule.
And schedule.
And what would be another example so we can hit home with
this? The same word.
Mother or mama.
Mom or mama or something.
Yeah, something like that so people can understand.
Every language.
This is just what it is.
Absolutely.
Just a little dialect.
It's a way of pronouncing it.
Yeah, that's it.
Pronouncing the word. Yeah. Yes, that's it. And there are many examples in many languages like that. So now those people, when they spread over the world, mm-hmm. teaching the people. So if I say that I pronounce it this way and you pronounce it this way. So they needed to match this with a written copy.
Oh, now it's coming home.
So a judgment, yeah.
Okay.
So now, okay, we need a written copy. So this, there was a need at the time of Uthman for having copies. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that, just you try to imagine, can you take out this and make a copy from the bone or from the, no, of course it was impossible.
Yeah.
So what happened is he brought Zayd ibn Harith, the first one, again.
He's still alive.
He was still alive.
He's still there. That's still the alive. Chief
And this
scribe.
Is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he brought other companions with him to help him. And he wrote one copy by his handwriting. He copied from those, this Mus'haf of Abi Bakr. He wrote it by hand. Now you can imagine that on paper, and it shrank down to this side, and perhaps the video would show the people that's this an example of it.
It's huge, yeah.
It was so huge, wow. But all of it on paper. Mm-hmm. And he made, with the collaboration of three other companions, he made seven copies. Mm-hmm. So now there are seven copies written by the same person, were copied from this compilation of the Quran. And these seven copies were sent to seven places. One Mecca, one Medina, one Al-Basra, one Al-Kufa, one Al-Bahrain, one to Yemen, and one to Al-Sham, Syria and Lebanon. Seven copies were sent to them. And by the way, some of these copies, until now, they exist. One of them is in Turkey, in one of the museums there, one of them is in Egypt. There's some of these original, I'm talking about these seven copies that were written almost 1300 years ago or 1400 years ago, they are still there. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the number of the memorizer that is increasing, not only among the Arabs, among all the other countries. This was the situation at the time of Uthman, and that's why this version that we have nowadays, it's called Uthmani.
Because this was just done during
because
his time.
Because this was done at the time.
Nothing
of
different
time.
From when Absolutely. Abu Bakr's time.
Absolutely.
The Prophet's time. Everything
Absolutely.
Is the same.
Absolutely. Even it was still without vowels, without dots. It was in the same format, but seven copies of it. And the memorizers of the Quran used to take it as a reference if there a mistake in their memorization happens. We said that at the time of the third caliph, Uthman ibn Affan, the situation was like this. There were seven copies handwritten by the same chief scribe, mm-hmm. whose name is Zayd ibn Harith, and these copies were sent to these countries. When, as mentioned, these seven places, one of them to Yemen, one of them is to Sham, Syria and Lebanon, and another one was sent to Basra, another one was sent to Kufa, one was sent to Bahrain, and two remained in the area, one in Mecca and the other one was in Medina. Seven copies written by the same person. They were done at the time of Uthman, and that's why they are called Uthmani.
Right.
And that's why many of the versions of the Quran that we have nowadays, they call it Uthmanic Mus'haf, referring to that they were done at the time of Uthman the third caliph.
Elaborate when you say, because when we know we have multiple versions of the Bible, when you say version, because people think now this is a different Quran something's
Absolutely
taken out from this one. What do you mean?
Yeah, as I said, that seven copies were made. So it's the same by the same person.
Yeah.
He copied from each one of them. He is the same person who did the same thing. So that's why I'm saying that. So the seven of them, they were spread here and there.
Yeah.
Now we call this, I don't know, we call it version or edition or
yeah.
Yeah. But we call it Uthmani because the font here, this was the same font that was taken from the time that the Quran was copied at the time of Uthman. That's why they call it Uthmani.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Talk to us now about the, you can continue on, but just a side note, when was it during this time that the Quran, some of the people that were making shorthand, they were taking notes that it was taken so there would be confusion and they were burned?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The time of Uthman, he recommended that. You know that there are many Muslims everywhere in the world, especially in the Arabia, they were writing for their own. They memorized the Quran, they want to write, so some of them might have written, the whole Quran, some of them might have written part of it. So at the time of Uthman, when these copies were made, he asked all the people who have some parts of the Quran or even other copies of the Quran, they would be collected and burned.
That's it. This is it. Was there much resistance from the people?
Oh, no. No. Of course not. They would know that.
This was like a, you know, by force, like knocking on doors, breaking doors,
this
and taking
this. No. This doesn't work at all. Yeah. Because the companions were on the same level of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and some of them were, yes, even had greater impact in Islam and even in understanding the Quran than Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. So anyway, all these pieces and parts were gathered together and were burned, and we still have the seven copies. And when, as I said, you can imagine the long distance between these places that the Quran were sent to. At the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the fourth caliph, nothing happened. There is no change. And this continued on and on. At the time of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, the concept of dotting, putting the dots on, this was not there. And that's why you would find that some words, yes, needed to have, yes, in the alphabet, this is changed in the writing system of the Arabic. So they added the dots to differentiate between
some letters. When was this now?
This was at the time of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan.
How far is this after Uthman?
Not after Uthman, after Ali ibn Abi Talib. This would be immediately, after just a few years after.
Few years. And this was for the purpose of what?
For the purpose of, I said, this is a change in the writing system. Yes.
Nothing changed.
And it was done by, absolutely. It's the writing system. For example, I will tell people, now, look at the word color in the British writing. And the word color is written in the American writing. You would see that this U is written, and in the American system, they drop the U, right? Mm-hmm. Look at the word night, N-I-G-H-T, and now the people write it N-I-T-E, right?
Yeah.
So it's still the same pronunciation, the same word, the same meaning, does not change anything, but it is the change in the writing system. And this happens in all the world. So this the dotting system was introduced at the time of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, and this was by a person called Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. We know the person, the name, and we know that this was well documented. There's nothing to hide or to conceal here. And at the same time, the Quran was continuing to be memorized more and more, and more people now are writing copies, different copies, from the seven copies that were written. You love it, so you get a copy and you try to make a copy of the original one, until printing was introduced and hundreds and thousands and millions of copies were made. At the same time, the number of memorizers is increasing, until recently, in the last few years in the 20th century, there was a statistic about the memorizers of the Quran. They are approximately 9.3 million memorizers of the Quran. They cover it from cover to cover. They memorize it heart by heart from cover to cover. And they are almost everywhere in the world. And 50% of them, at least in the subcontinent of India and Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Let's leave off there. And I think that this opens up, if you're willing to come back, God willing, where we can talk
Inshallah.
About more about the Quran. And this was just how it was compiled. But, you know, many of the different solutions to a lot of the problems we're having here, being a guidance for the mankind, describing who our Creator is, who He is, and the wonderful rewards of paradise, and all the beautiful things that if a person lives how the Creator wants them to live, all the delights and the beautiful things about seeing their Lord in paradise, and all these wonderful things that we can talk about, scientific miracles. Look, I can just go on and on. Inshallah, next episode, part three. Absolutely. Okay, and that's it. We're here with Dr. Mandu. He agreed. So if he agreed, I'm sure now he's going to find a time. You could find a time and come back here at the Dean Show. Again, Dr. Mandu, he has his own section at thedeanshow.com. Check it out to see parts one, two, this one if you didn't see all of it. And then, inshallah, God willing, we're going to continue on talking about the verbatim word of God, the Quran. See you next time. Assalamu alaikum.
I came from a science major. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
If any Christian can point out a single unequivocal statement, a single unambiguous statement, where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I am God, or where he says, worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know.